Notice the last phrase there of that song, absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit till all shall see. All shall see Christ only always living in me. And we need to remember our Christian testimony is not just in church on Sunday. It's Monday. It's at the work site. It's at the school. It's at wherever you are. See, God wants us to live for Him every day. What does that mean? That means we need to crucify ourselves. So Scripture refers to. We're not talking about hanging on a cross. We're just saying this old flesh has to be put down every day, and we need to be living in the Spirit every day, following the Lord. Luke chapter 2, this morning, Luke chapter 2. And read verses 25 through 35. I do want to just make mention this evening, we'll have a special Christmas service and just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got several extra special songs of music and just a message focused on Jesus. But this morning I'm going to preach on Simeon focusing on Christ and what he saw in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's something that we need to pay attention to, because we definitely, before we read, I just want to realize, you know, I appreciate Brother Schrock took several different groups around to see Christmas lights throughout this week, and some of the choir members, and got a season pass over there. It was closed on Friday night when we went through, but we went around town and looked at some lights. And isn't it amazing that people can celebrate Christmas and there's nothing in their lighting display or anything that has to do with Jesus? Christmas is a holiday that has been attacked probably more than any other holiday. It has also been pushed to take the focus off of what it really means probably more than any other holiday. It's been commercialized probably more than any other holiday. And let's, you know, this world, let's take the focus off Jesus and put it on Santa Claus. Let's take it off of Jesus and put it on some reindeer. Let's take it off of Jesus and put it on a snowman. Let's take it off of Jesus and put it on, what am I getting for Christmas? And you want to think about the number of people in society that will celebrate, supposedly celebrate the holiday of remembering when Jesus was born. That's what Christmas is. And they'll supposedly celebrate that holiday, and yet how many are in church on the day before the day that we celebrate Christmas, Christ's birth? And you think about that, and it's like, how can something that's supposed to mean one thing be so contorted to just be about absolutely everything else? And so we want to have a special service tonight, all the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to focus on Him this morning too. Simeon's focus on Christ. Let's read the passage here, Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. And devout means faithful. He's just solidly there, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? We'll look at that in a minute. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. We'll focus on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Father, I ask that you would take your word now and help us. Lord, may we put all of our energy and focus right now on listening to your word, what it's about. Father, if there's always the potential that someone's here and they're not saved yet, and they need to be saved. God, I pray that you would help. Father, that if there is someone here that does not know you as Savior, that they would realize that you came and you were born in order to die for them. Father, help us as Christians to realize our life should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you would strengthen and encourage us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this man, Simeon, we get an idea of who he is. He's waiting in the temple. And the reason he's waiting in the temple is because the Holy Ghost has said to him. Remember, the Holy Ghost spoke a lot more to people prior to the scriptures being written than he does now as far as outside the Bible. Most of the work that the Holy Spirit does through and in us today comes through the scriptures because we have the finished word of God. And through those scriptures, through us reading them, through us hearing the preaching of the word of God and the Holy Spirit saying, hey, that is for you. You need that. And we get that from the Bible. But then this man is there. He's waiting because he's getting old. He has been told by God himself that you are not going to die until you see the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. That word Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. So if you see the word Messiah in the Old Testament, that is the word Christ in the New Testament. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. And so this man is waiting there. He's daily in the temple. He's a devout man. He's faithfully there because he's waiting to see Jesus. Jehovah Savior. God with us. And he's there in the temple. He's a devout man. He's a just man. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. That idea of, boy, the one who can bring peace. We're not talking political peace. We're talking spiritual peace. He sees baby Jesus at approximately 42 days old. If you'll go to Leviticus chapter 12, Leviticus chapter 12, we see some instructions given, and it says in Leviticus 12, and the Lord, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. And she shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So according to the law, according to the scriptures, Mary is separated out after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's not coming into the temple until those days have been fulfilled. So now she's coming into the temple. Jesus would be about 42 days old. This scene with Simeon here is taking place approximately almost 2 years prior to the wise men. So often the focus of the wise men, you focus, well, the wise men at Christmas time. The wise men came a couple years later. But Simeon was there 42 days later. He's waiting, and Mary and Joseph come with the new baby, God's holy son, and God the Son, walk into the temple on day 42, day 43, somewhere right there in that period of time, walk in, and Simeon takes a look, and he instantaneously realizes, this is the one. Can you imagine his excitement? For a couple reasons. One, he's old. He says, now I get to die and go to heaven. He wasn't going to die until he saw that baby. But for two, he gets to be the one of the very first to realize who Jesus is. And there's just something exciting about waiting for a fulfilled promise from God, isn't there? You know, the rapture's coming. We don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And one day, we're going to get caught up together into the cloud. It's a promise, and Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to meet us in the clouds. That'll be a great day. And the thing is Simeon is devoutly there watching and waiting for that. How devout are we in looking for the rapture? How devout are we in living, looking? Today is the day the Lord could come. He was there with expectation. What if Simeon had missed that day? You think about it. I mean, he's there because he knows it's coming. He doesn't know what day. He doesn't know when it's coming, but he knows it's coming. What if he had decided to be unfaithful that day? So many times we don't know when God really just wants to do something in us, and we can easily miss it. Miss our devotions. Miss being in church. You know, we look at this and think, wow, if we are devout, faithfully serving the Lord every day, we get through life and we don't miss anything. God gave to us for today what he wanted to give to us today. But it does take faithfulness. It does take being devout. And we are in a society that really has lost the meaning of the word devout. Let's look at what Simeon saw. It was revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, and it's fulfilling exactly what was written back in Leviticus that we read, then took he him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He said, I'm ready to go to heaven. I've seen Jesus now. I'm ready to go to be with you. Verse 30, he makes this statement. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He saw God-given salvation that was for absolutely every single person. And he knew who he was. We often talk about salvation. Do you know what? Salvation is in a person. Salvation is not in a religion. It is not in us doing things. Salvation is in us realizing we are sinners condemned to hell, and the answer to that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, this very day, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Not is, oh, I know Jesus was born, we'll celebrate Christmas. No. Is Jesus your Savior? Have you seen the salvation provided by Jesus Christ? Have you come to the point of realization, I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell, I need Jesus Christ because without Jesus, I'll never see God as my father, I'll only see him as judge. Without Jesus, I will end up in hell in a lake of fire for all eternity. I'll never get to spend time in heaven with God. And it's not because God doesn't want you there. God sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he came and died for you? He didn't die just for the Jews. Boy, it took those apostles a little bit to figure that out. They get into the book of Acts and they're talking to the Jews and God says, hey, you need to go over here and talk to this Gentile named Cornelius. And Peter's like, what? I'm going no Gentile. He said, wait a minute. Peter, this gospel is for everybody. It's for all people. But you know, way before Peter got that figured out, Simeon knew that. He says, I've seen salvation, and it's for all people. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ individually died for your sins. He wants to save you. And you look at that, and it's not just, oh, Jesus died for the world. Yes, he did, but Jesus died for you. It's personal. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you were to die right now, would you split hell wide open and end up in a lake of fire, or would you go instantaneously to heaven to be with Jesus Christ for eternity? Where are you going when you die? Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Without Jesus, you don't get saved. No church saves you, including this one. I'll ask people, hey, when did you get saved? And I've heard this phrase a few times from people that got saved down at jail. Well, Gary West saved me. You know, no. I said, nuh-uh. If Gary West saved you, then you're not saved. Now, he may have told you, I know Jesus saved me, but Gary's the one that led me to the Lord. And that is exactly right. But let's remember, it's not about the person, although I'm thankful for people that lead people to the Lord. We need that for sure. But Jesus is the Savior. You don't look at it and say, well, a Tumble Baptist temple saved me. A Tumble Baptist temple didn't save anyone. Jesus is the Savior. And God forbid that we would ever think that we could save ourselves. Well, if I'm just good enough, you never will be. Well, if I just attend church enough, no. Jesus is the Savior. You have to humble yourself, get rid of all of your self-dependency, and come to Jesus as a lost sinner in order to say, it's only Jesus. I'm completely trusting you as my Savior. Are you saved today? Have you seen God's salvation? Simeon saw God-given salvation for all people. Notice in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So he saw this light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, he got this and he saw it again long before the apostles. Go with me to Acts 13:47. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47. And hold your place in Luke. I should have said that. We're coming right back there. But Acts 13 and verse 47. And here is Paul and Barnabas preaching, and they are bringing the same message that Simeon said, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were what? They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, don't get confused about that. As many as believed were ordained to eternal life. Everyone that got saved got eternal life. Okay? But it was a light to the Gentiles. And Paul and Barnabas were really the first ones to exponentially take that gospel message outside of Israel to the Gentiles. Peter took it to one household, the household of Cornelius. Paul and Barnabas said, we got to get this to everybody. Aren't you glad that salvation is also for the Gentiles? How many are Gentiles today, not Jews? I'm glad that salvation is a light to the Gentiles. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to notice this idea of the darkness and the separation that is taking place there. Let's start with verse 8 and read on down. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's faith in Jesus Christ, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, now he's talking about saved people, we, saved people, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God should before hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by them which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, I love that, but now, don't you? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath both made one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Gentiles, salvation is for all people. And Simeon, before anybody else gets it, Simeon has a special insight. He says, this is salvation. It's for all people. He's going to be a light to the Gentiles as well. See, God's people had always had a little bit of special light. The Israelites had the Old Testament, the Word of God, which had light for them. And now light is going to be spread throughout for all people. He saw that Jesus was God-given salvation. He saw a light to the Gentiles. And then he saw the offense that Jesus would be to the Jews. Notice verse 34. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Jesus Christ was spoken against by so many in Israel. I want you to walk through the scriptures with me and notice what the scriptures say about Jesus Christ being a stumbling block for Israel. And a stumbling block, just walk through the scriptures with me. This is a great little quick study here. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14. Just follow right through with me. Isaiah 8:14, the Bible says this, and he shall be, this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, he shall be for a sanctuary. Well, isn't it great that you can get in Jesus Christ and have a sanctuary for your soul, a place of peace for your soul? But it says, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. What do you mean? Jesus Christ is going to be an offense to Israel? How is this going to happen? Let's follow the scriptures through a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul also addresses this part as he refers back to that passage in Isaiah. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, it says, wherefore? Let me back up just so you get a little bit of context. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Israel continually thought, boy, we've got to get righteousness through our own selves, through the law, through works. And then Jesus comes. Verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He says, Jesus is going to be for the nation of Israel. And let me include this, for all people who think that they can get to God through religion, Jesus Christ is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense for them. But if you'll just put your faith in Christ, reject all the religion, reject all of your own works, put your faith in Christ alone, he says, he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But you've got to come to belief on Jesus Christ. Let's follow further, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. The Apostle Paul making and proclaiming, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look, these verses are building. We're going someplace with this, so stay with it. Focus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a rock of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." He says, look, if you believe Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation, if you're trying to get to God on your own by your own power, Jesus Christ is an offense and a stumbling stone for you. Now let's go to Matthew 21 and tie these verses together. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Let's go ahead and read from verse 42 to 44. "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." He's saying it's better to fall on Jesus than have Jesus fall on you. Now, let's read back in our text, Luke chapter 2. And I want to tie all this together. Luke chapter 2. And the verse that we're reading is this, verse 34, "Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Now take that last verse in Matthew that we read. If you'll fall on the rock, you'll rise again. But if you won't fall on the rock, then the rock will grind you to powder. You know what? Any person who decides or thinks, I am good enough to get to heaven, I don't need Jesus, they will not fall on the rock. And one day they'll stand before God and the Lord Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. And he will condemn them at that time to hell and the lake of fire forever. And the rock will fall on them and it says it will grind them to powder. The judgment of God will come on every person who will not fall on the rock. Well, the Israelites had a problem. The Israelites thought, well, we're God's chosen people. We don't need to fall on the rock. We're keepers of the law. The Pharisees, the religious people of the nation of Israel, they're looking at it and they're saying, we're keepers of the law. We don't need a spiritual Messiah. Now, we would like a physical Messiah, one that would free us from the Romans. But we don't need a spiritual Messiah. We're keepers of the law. No one can keep the law well enough to get saved. Because we're sinners, we've come short of the glory of God. Do you know that Jesus Christ, he died for you? And to a person who has been in religion all of their life, and you say, look, you need to reject your religion and trust Christ alone. Whoa, I've been in church every week all of my life. How dare you say that I'm not good enough? Have you ever heard something like that from someone? What is that? It's offensive to them. How dare you say that my works are not good enough and that I'm a sinner on my way to hell and Jesus is the only way of salvation? For some people, that's highly offensive. But I'm telling you, if you're here or you're listening by radio or you're listening by live stream and you're thinking, I'm okay, you're not okay. You need to come and you need to fall down before the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, would you save my soul? It's only you. If you fall on the rock, you'll rise again. You get eternal life. But if you will not fall on the rock, then one day the rock will fall on you. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to come to Him and fall before Him? Or are you going to wait to stand at the judgment and end up in hell forever? Where are you going when you die? Will you trust Jesus, or are you just going to stick with religion? Oh, it burdens my heart when someone tells me, well, I was baptized when I was a baby, so I'm okay. Baptism doesn't save anybody. We're going to have a baptism here in a minute. Baptism is a symbol of the gospel, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is for you. Baptism is to demonstrate to everybody else that you believe on Jesus Christ. Baptism is for everyone else to show that you're a believer in Christ. It's a public display. If you're thinking, oh, I got baptized when I was a baby, I'm okay, you're not okay. If you think that baptism saves you, you're not okay. You need to get saved. You need to fall on Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Now, every person that gets saved ought to get baptized. They ought to make a public profession of faith. That to publicly demonstrate, look, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I'm dead to my old sins. I'm going to live a new life. And that's what baptism pictures. And so often we forget that. See, salvation, Jesus didn't save you from your sin so that you could just continue in sin. What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, that's what this world thinks, but the Bible says, God forbid. Look, Jesus saved us to change us. Fall on the rock. So Simeon saw God-given salvation. He saw a light to the Gentiles. He saw the offense that Jesus Christ would bring to the Jews and religious people. Simeon saw one other thing. He saw the sorrow that Mary would face. Verse 35 of Luke chapter 2. He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want you to go with me to John chapter 19, and I want you to see Jesus Christ on the cross. John chapter 19. Jesus is hanging on the cross. Verse 25. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. There were some other ladies there as well. No doubt they were there comforting or doing their best to comfort Mary. Jesus, the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. Jesus on that cross was taking care of his mother. He says, John, Mary's now going to be your mother. I'm not going to be here to care for her. I'm giving her care over to you. He said, Mary, John is going to be your son. He's going to take my place here on earth. To be your son, he's gonna look after you, he's gonna care for you. And Jesus Christ took time to do that, but can you picture Mary? Her son, it's just something unnatural about the order of things when a son dies before his mother. What a grief. And Mary, here 33 and a half years prior to Jesus dying, at 42 days old, he's holding that baby and he says, Mary, your soul is going to be pierced through with many sorrows. See, we rejoice in the fact Jesus died for us. Mary rejoiced in the fact that Jesus was her Savior. And she said so. By the way, Mary needed a Savior too. She was a sinner as well. But Jesus was going to have to die. And Mary, unlike any of the rest of us, when Jesus died, we rejoice that he died for us. When Jesus died, Mary saw her son that she gave birth to hanging on that cross. Can you fathom what she had to go through that day? What she dealt with that day? You think it's bad what happened to Jesus. It's glorious that he died for you and that he died for me. But for Mary, he's on the cross and she's dealing with all of that motherly emotion and everything that goes along with that. But she brought him into the world for that purpose. And Simeon, he gets to see Jesus Christ all the way through to the end. What does Jesus mean to you today? Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Is this Christmas season, is it about you? Is it about family or is it about Jesus? See, without him, we would all be hopeless. There would be no hope in the world. We would be those Gentiles without hope. But Jesus Christ came for our hope. And we need to just be grateful. I'm excited for all the special music tonight that focuses on Jesus. And we'll look at the Bible and focus on Jesus some more. Whose birthday are we celebrating? Jesus' birthday. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. We're going to have an invitation. Carol, you can go ahead and get ready. I want to ask this question, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask this question. Is there anybody here right now that says, I do not know Jesus personally as my Savior. I'm not sure if I were to die that I would go to heaven. Is there anybody here that would raise their hand and say, if I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody? How many know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Okay, some are caught in the balance. Some are saved, some not raising their hand either way. Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. Are you saved? Will you trust Christ as your Savior? Father, I pray that you would just work now in the invitation. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would convict and work. And God, help us, Lord, to see Jesus Christ. God, help us to take Christ out with us everywhere and spread the light everywhere we can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you've got something to come and pray about this morning, I'd encourage you to come and talk to the Lord. If there's anybody here that needs to get saved, would you come? We'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. God sent Jesus to die to save you from your sins. What a great thing it is. Do you see Jesus during this season? Is it about him? I want you to consider and think about that. I'm going to let Brother Schrock come and finish out the invitation, then lead in a song while getting ready for the baptism.
there might still be people out doing last-minute shopping. But don't be one that puts off getting saved to the last minute, because you don't know when that is. That last minute could come in 5 minutes. We don't know. And don't put off living for Him till it's convenient, because it's never going to be convenient. Satan's got a good way of making sure it's not convenient to our way of thinking anyway. If you would look up this way, turn to number 102. Number 102 in your songbook, He Hideth My Soul. Starts out, He's a wonderful Savior, is Jesus my Lord, and He is wonderful. Let's sing it out this morning.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me.
Savior, and she wanted to follow Him in baptism. She wants to join our church, and so we're glad for that. Carol, have you trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation? All right, Carol, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Okay, Carol, it's a little on the warm side. Carol, we are so glad for all that God has done for us. We're glad that you want to join with us. We thank you for coming. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
And I'm glad that you got saved. I'm glad for people get saved anywhere they get saved.
Amen.
Right? And that's a blessing. So, Carol, do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him now?
Yes.
And we want to help you do that.
Yes.
And encourage you in every way possible.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right. You can go ahead and change the... See, I get the waiters, and it's on the warm side for sure. But Red Lobster, what we're doing here, cook our lobsters in this water. So. I look forward to tonight. Hope that you'll come back tonight for a special Christmas service on Christmas Eve. May we just keep Christ as the center and the focus of the season, okay? And it's a whole season, not just a day. You know, it's not about a day. It's about the Lord Jesus who came. So, Brother Reed, would you come and close us in prayer, please? Let me just say before he closes, there are all kinds of cards and gifts and things on the back table back there, so look and see if there's anything with your name on it.
Let's stand for prayer. Let me remind you, as you're standing tonight, we will be giving a love offering to Pastor Decker and Brother Christian as well. And so that'll be our Christmas love offering to them. If you haven't participated in that, you still have opportunity to do that, and that'll be given to them tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for your love. That, Father, all down through the years, you were thinking of us and how we could be saved, and how that you were going to send a Savior that could take away our sin. Lord, help us, Father, to live for you. Lord, we're thankful for Carol and for her being saved and then following you in believer's baptism and being a part of our church. Lord, help each one of us to live for you, not only at Christmas time, but all through the year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.